pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. And now, Madam Clerk, if you'd call the roll, please.
Mayor Holland is excused. Vice Mayor Cuff?
Here.
Councilmember Nobile?
Here.
Councilmember Klupas?
Present.
Councilmember Shipley?
Here.
Okay, the next order of business is our opening session of public participation. This is an opportunity for members of the public that want to address the council for any matter that is not on today's agenda to do so at this time. And if you'd come forward, and I see we have at least one taker, and state your name and residence for the record, you'll have 3 minutes.
Robert McDonald, 38 Richfield Lane, Palm Coast. We have a serious issue in the R section. We're having a serious problem with code enforcement. As I was driving here to the meeting this morning, I came up Rickenbacker, and there are 7 code violations just from my house to the end of Royal Palm. Now, I have had a conversation with Councilman Nobile, and we're trying to set up a meeting with Councilman Nobile because he's the representative of the R section, code enforcement, and myself to try to get this issue resolved. Now, the problem is that there are approximately 65 miles of roads just in the R section. So if the code enforcement officer is working 5 days a week, that means he only has to travel approximately, 6, 7, 8 miles in a day. So we can't understand why all of these violations. Now, for the last 2 or 3 weeks, I have been calling code enforcement and giving them a shopping list of houses just in the R section that have code violations. We're talking about everything from boats in the driveway, cars parked on the front lawn because the boats are in the driveway, campers, washing machines, you name it, we got it. And it's starting to really look like a rag section. So I'm hereby requesting a meeting to be set up with Councilman Nobile, Barbara Grossman from Code Enforcement, and the sad part of this is, and this is really embarrassing, there's a supervisor from code enforcement who lives in the R section because him and I have had numerous conversations. And he says, oh, yeah, he says, I know all about it. He says, I go past it every day. You can't be serious. You're a supervisor, and you see a code violation, and you drive past it every day to come to work, and nothing gets done about it. So I'm hereby requesting an official meeting to be set up on any day, any time, any place, but I want the meeting set up in a timely manner, because if it can't get set up, then, and we can't play nice and try to get this issue resolved, then we're going to have to go through the open public records, and I'm going to request a lot of things that may or may not be uncomfortable for people to answer. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. McDonald. Do we have anyone else that would like to address the council at this time?
Steve Carr, Palm Coast. I just want to tell you all that I do appreciate the jobs that y'all do. Sometimes I do not agree with everything, but I just want to wish y'all a Merry Christmas and Happy New Year.
Okay. Here.
Here. Same to you. Anyone else, sir?
Morning, everybody.
Morning.
I'm Mr. Neelabok. I live at 15 Richmond Drive, and I want to piggyback on what the gentleman just said about the R section code violations. I spoke with many members of the city, and 13 Richmond Drive needs to be fully more addressed, maybe even legal action be taken, because this apparently, I moved here in May, and from my research, this problem has been going on for over 2 years, and nothing's been done. So if you check your records, you'll see there are many violations at 13 Richmond Drive and other areas in the R section, as the gentleman said. And again, maybe rotating of code enforcement personnel on a regular basis will solve the problem of complacency. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Is there anyone else that would like to address the council at this time? I guess the if we could just address the code enforcement discussion, Mr. Landon. It sounds like we need to bring some people together, but obviously that's...
Well, Mr. McDonald gets up periodically and makes this speech, and I find it rather offensive as to how he addresses city staff and what he says. He knows better. We work very hard in code enforcement, and there are many, many violations issued every day in the R section and other sections. And it's an ongoing process, and to sit here and say the city staff is not doing anything is wrong and offensive. To give us specifics as to what he would like us to address in his neighborhood is very appropriate, and we look forward to that. As the gentleman in the back, the last gentleman said, you know, if there's something specific, but almost every time we get a specific case, we're already on it. It just takes time. So to say there's a boat in a driveway, that doesn't mean we haven't already issued the violation or we haven't. They have 3 days, they can leave it there, and it's only been there for two. There are those all the time. And this is an ongoing thing with Mr. McDonald. If Mr. Nobile wants to meet with him with Barbara, we're always welcome to do that. But some of his comments are just not right. Thank you.
Yeah. If I ask maybe Mr. Landon if you could set up something for me, Barbara, and him after the new year?
Would be happy to. I will tell you the last time he got up and requested, we tried to set it up and he wouldn't come.
Okay.
So we'll try again,
and we'll see if he wants
to come this time.
Good. I'll give a few dates so I, you know.
Yes.
Thank you.
We'll try to set that up.
Thank you.
Mr. Mayor, also just I wanted to add that the other gentleman that got up, I actually spoke with him after the last code board meeting, and I'm sure he remembers, and that is a atypical case, although, as Mr. Landon said, this is a process. Code enforcement is a process. We can't, unless there is a nuisance under our code and under law, we can't just go out onto private property and fix things. We would get sued. So we can't do that. So there is a process that is allowed under Florida law, and I'm saying this for the benefit of everyone in the audience. We follow that process, and unfortunately, that process, which is created by statute, does take time. It requires notices and requires hearings. That's the definition of due process. And we have to follow that. We're not allowed to do it any other way unless there's a nuisance. And when a property gets so bad that it is actually a public safety issue and it's a nuisance, then we are allowed by law to go out there and fix it proactively. Otherwise, for example, a boat in the driveway, it's annoying, but it's not a safety issue. It's a code violation, but it's not a public safety concern. We're not allowed to go out and just move that boat. And I know I'm being facetious and all, but it's important to make that distinction. And so certainly we recognize these things. We've got a code hearing. I just got the agenda yesterday. We've got a code board. There's 70 cases, 70 or 80 cases next in early January. So these cases don't. We have to send out notices of violations and notices of hearing under Florida law. Some of you have been on the code board, so you understand what I'm saying. And because of this process, the code enforcement staff, I work with them almost every day. Very, very diligent employees, and it's a very difficult job. So I do want the citizens to know that they take their job very seriously, and we work very hard to keep the city as clean and in compliance with our codes as possible.
Okay. Well, certainly appreciate your comments, Mr. Reichman, and as a former code prosecutor back in the dark ages of municipal code enforcement, I understand what you're saying, but obviously everyone, I think, on the council, I can say this, is interested in making sure that citizen complaints are appropriately addressed, and I also take Mr. Landon's comments and hope that something will be able to be set up to further address these issues.
Yes.
Thank you. Okay. Next item on the agenda is Section E, approval of the minutes for December 5th and December 12th workshop. Any discussion or a motion?
Move approval.
Second.
Okay. Motion and a second to approve. All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? Okay. Passes unanimously. Next item on the agenda is Section F2, presentation of the 2017 Annual Intercoastal Waterway Cleanup Results.
This is always a fun one. This is our annual event. This year we got hurricane delayed, I believe we might call it, but Denise still had a great event and would like to show everybody our accomplishments this year. Take it from here, Denise.
Thank you, Mr. Landon. Denise Bevan, City Administration Coordinator. Good morning, Council Members.
Morning.
Good morning.
So it's always a pleasure to come to you with these results. As Mr. Landon did say, it was postponed this year, but we'll talk a little bit about the background, and then we have a treat at the end, a short video that highlights the passion of our volunteers and some of the accomplishments as well. So this is, of course, part of the Strategic Action Plan, Enhanced Community and Visitors Recreational Opportunities and Experiences at Community Events. So each year we try to change it up a little bit, and we want to reduce pollution, obviously, increase participation. We think about safety constantly. Some of our volunteers are go-getters and might go into places we'd rather them not go. So we do focus on the convenience and safety of our volunteers, increasing participation regarding sponsorships and community involvement. And, of course, we always have a goal of having fun. So this year we had the event on November 4th. Traditionally, it's every September, early part of September, in awareness of International Coastal Cleanup Day. Of course, we focus on our waterways, but we have a lot of volunteers that choose to enjoy our parks along the pathways and other areas that need some TLC. And this year, we had it at Holland Park, which was a just wonderful venue, a lot of fun for the kids that come out and volunteer. Since 2013, we've had mascots. Each year, we choose a different animal or creature. 2013, we have Captain Humanity. 2014, Pinch de Leon. My favorite, Scoop, in 2015, and last year, Digger. And the way we approach that is that we design the mascot in-house, but then we actually go out to our social media. And we ask them to give us some ideas for names, and then it transitions into an actual voting contest. So this year, our mascot was a sea turtle, and these are some of the names that were provided by our social media followers. Sandy Sam, Walter Waterways, Tank, Hanu, which is very interesting. That actually means sea turtle in Hawaiian. Cliff the Cleanup Guy, Michelle, which I kind of favor that one. Myrtle the Turtle, Flagler Frank, Clem, Tide. Anybody that knows me knows I like Tide too. Shelly and Tidy Turtle. So we had 174 votes cast, and this is how it fell out. Shelly came in third with 16 votes. Tidy Turtle second, 26 votes, and the winner was Walter Waterways. And talking about how we use a mascot, we push out unique facts about the sea turtle and other information, of course, to reduce pollution and encourage awareness. And we actually had a brand new contest this year. And this was basically the creation of some of our interns and other staff, and it was called Where's Walter Waterways? And this contest is somewhat of a scavenger hunt, if you would like, and we actually hid at six of our parks little Walters, and we asked for the volunteers to actually go find Walter and take a picture with him, and then that would get you entered into the contest. And this was tailored just to volunteers to get them into our parks and make it just another fun aspect to the event. So this is just an example of one of the clues. We had it at six parks, and for instance, Long Creek Nature Reserve. I'm hanging around where people fish, hoping I can get a small dinner dish. And so we did have a lot of takers on the contest, and we'll talk about that a little bit more. Sponsors and partnerships. We had approximately $6,000 in contributions from different sponsors. And this is our design flyer this year. It's very cute. It was actually in honor of, as well, our 10 years of doing this event. Find has historically been a huge supporter to this event and has awarded us $50,000 over the years towards the grant. So just to give you a glimpse of the volunteers hard at work, a lot of attention at Waterfront Park, and you might notice here we have public works staff out in the field, so if they find a big item, our staff's there to help and support them. They're also equipped with igloos to make sure that they have plenty of water, they don't get dehydrated out in the field. And we're actually quite honored that little Miss Flagler was one of our volunteers this year. That's just her. So this is just a bar graph of our historical results since the very beginning. And this year we had 709 pounds collected. Traditionally we have around a ton collected. We had 357 volunteers registered. We had a portion of that actually come out on event day. I think it really messed up everybody's schedule, having it reschedule into November. But we're really still proud. All of our volunteers just had a lot of fun. So after they clean up, they actually come back to Holland Park, and they tell us how they did, what they collected, how much. And in honor of the sea turtle, we actually had the Sea Turtle Hospital at Whitney Lab come out and be an exhibitor to talk about some of their activities as well. And you can see a lot of happy faces. Don't know how they keep smiles after being out there all morning, but they did. And some of the contests, most trash collected, over 300 pounds. This is a family that you'll actually get to see in an upcoming video. They're really passionate about it. It's really neat to see the whole family come out and participate. Here's Where's Walter Waterways. So if the volunteers participated in the contest, they were actually open to having some prizes, kind of a hat drawing. And then this gentleman here with our mascot, he actually found the most Walters, so he actually got a lot of prizes. And he's a go-getter. He came out in his Ninja Turtles gear, so he was all in for this. One of the most impressive and interesting contests, and we've had this for every year, is the Most Unique Find contest, and that's in honor, of course, of the Florida Inland Navigation District. And so each volunteer is encouraged to bring one item back that they think they just couldn't believe that they found it out there. And Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission law enforcement judges it every year. And this year it was a stop sign. And with that, we do have a short video to share with City Council. And it's really to reflect on the 10 years of this event and highlighting the passion of our volunteers, but then also looking for 10 years more and more of this event. So if you'll just bear with me for just a second, we'll get that video going.
City of Palm Coast Intercoastal Waterway Cleanup. Every September, hundreds of volunteers come together with a purpose. They fan out across locations along our trails and waterways, collecting everything in their path that doesn't belong. Cleaning, protecting, and preserving what we treasure. Keeping Palm Coast beautiful and healthy for future generations.
Just having a clean community, you know, it's showing our kids a good lesson to keep their areas clean. And so when their kids get older, maybe they don't have to see garbage everywhere. We've been out here since like 7:30 this morning, and we dug for a lot of this stuff. So this wasn't just stuff laying along the edges and floating around. I mean, this is stuff under rocks and things like that. So really get under everything, get that fishing string out, all those little pieces of foam, all that little stuff. That's what the turtles and the fish love to eat up. So, you know, it's... big stuff's good to get out of there, but that little stuff's important too.
Over the past 10 years, 20,500 pounds of debris have been collected. That's an average of over 1,700 pounds per year, a remarkable accomplishment which these dedicated spirits are proud of. But there's more to just picking up garbage for these volunteers. Further satisfaction is found in some simple, down-to-earth fun. Volunteers are on a quest to find the most unique item out there. And there are some pretty unusual items discovered along the way.
We found a SpongeBob kite. Yep. and we found what we thought at first was a bowling ball, but it was a big buoy. It was purple.
Those who find the most unique item win prizes, as judged by Florida Fish and Wildlife officers. This part of the event is a fitting tribute to one of the event's major sponsors, FIND, the Florida Inland Navigation District. The event itself has become a bonding experience for families, organizations, and residents who share their passion for the environment. People love its many facets. For example, a fun new waterway mascot is designed every year. Naming it is open to the public via Facebook. Also, different vendors bring environmental exhibits. The 10th annual event invited the Whitney Lab Sea Turtle Hospital to share memorable educational moments with volunteers. And at the end of the event, newfound friends share their day's experiences over food and beverages while cheering for those who won the event's special prizes. The larger groups especially like winning the most trash collected contest. The satisfaction of being involved in our annual pickup comes down to many things. We invite you to join us in our annual mission to dispose of waterway trash, and we encourage you to keep being proactive all year round. The cleanup is a great event for Palm Coast, a city projected to continue attracting newcomers. Thus, there's an ever-increasing need to attract more volunteers to participate. Make plans now to participate every September. Land lovers are always welcome, and boaters, kayakers are especially invited. We'll have gloves and grabbers waiting here just for you.
Giving back and hard work never hurt anyone.
We're brand new to the area. We just moved down from New York. We came down right around the time of the hurricane. Our home suffered very little damage, but we're trying to use it as a tool to show the girls how fortunate we are. And it'd be great for the things we have, and that if we don't take care of what we have, the environment, it gets ruined, and it gets ruined fast. So we want to just show how to be grateful. It's important to keep the environment clean because that's what gives us what we need.
I think we're helping the earth. Yeah.
Our volunteers are amazing. We get such great volunteers every year. We have people that come back every year just because they are so dedicated to this event and just so proud of being able to say that they were involved in an event that helps with the environment so much. So our volunteers are absolutely amazing, and we couldn't do this event without them. For next year, go to palmcoastgov.com, and there'll be a link on the main page to sign up for Intracoastal Waterway Cleanup next year. We'll have a brand new mascot, and it'll be a great time. Please come out, and you're going to have a really fun time.
Thank you. Hopefully next year we'll be able to hold it at the regular time and have the volunteers back on track, nature willing. Okay. Any other questions or comments? Okay. Next item on the agenda is our resolutions, section G3, resolution approving annual services agreement with the University of Central Florida for Business Assistance Center. Mr. Landon, we have
a great relationship with the Center for Small Business Development, and also USF, University of Central Florida, UCF, sorry.
USF is good, too.
Yeah, okay. I need to get the acronym right. We presented this to you briefly at your last workshop, and you asked for a full presentation from the director of our local office here, Ray Peter. And so Ray is here to give you a little overview as to what the BAC has accomplished and kind of what their mission is. So Ray, please take it from here.
Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity to present to the City Council and give you an update of what's been happening at the BAC, and to highlight once again perhaps what you already have seen one time, the tools that we use to assist all of the businesses, whether it's entrepreneurs, startups, or whether it's existing businesses that come in for assistance. Just a little history, The BAC was actually started in 2011 and has been running efficiently ever since. What we do is we provide a real benefit, no-cost business consulting services to anyone who wants to come in and sit down and talk about starting a business. The kinds of services that we provide at the BAC run the gamut. We really try to address wherever a client is coming from, and essentially, whether it's a business, the basic business startup information, or in-depth financial analysis. My partner Mike Oppenheim here and I, the two consultants in the office, sit down with the client and find out exactly where they are and then what they really need. And as you can see from the list, it runs all the way down from helping them create a marketing plan to putting together a loan package to get financing, or even website analysis, and you'll see some of the tools later on. One of the emerging things that I think has been occurring is we find ourselves in a position of advocacy with the client to kind of help navigate sometimes the murky waters of permitting and getting a certificate of occupancy, maybe building permits and all of that. And so we found ourselves in a very beneficial position to assist businesses in that regard. The kinds of tools that we have, I think, are really impressive. Mike and I, in our corporate backgrounds or small business backgrounds, we would have appreciated access to these tools because they're tremendously helpful. And I should point out, would have cost the small business owner or corporations a large amount of money to purchase. So we deliver this at no charge to our clients, but nevertheless provide a significant benefit. Look here. Okay. So IBIS World is the first tool that we use, and it essentially is an industry report. Over 1,000 industry reports are available, and it gives the business client an opportunity to have an in-depth study of their particular industry. Now, I've used, as an example, auto mechanic. And what it does is it says, where are the independent auto mechanics positioned in the U.S.? What's the competitive landscape look like? What's the opportunity for them? What's the key performance indicators that they have to look out for? And through this report, it helps provide some of the information that would be used in a business plan to actually go and secure a loan. So a lot of very, very useful information that's applied. The second business tool, it's Florida Power and Light, actually provides the tool, and it's available to everyone in our community. It's a tool that provides demographic information. As you see here, it's something that from the auto mechanics point of view, the typical sales revenue for an auto mechanic in Palm Coast is around $300,000. Salaries for the mechanics are around $26,000. And there's about a 12% local turnover rate. Information that's really valuable as you're looking at trying to establish and run your business. In addition, it provides other demographic information. For example, when you look at the age distribution, the income distribution, the race distribution, along with household incomes, all of those things are beneficial when you're looking at your target market and understanding who your market is going to be focused on. And so that in effect is the essentially your Florida Power and Light. It's actually a tool called Size Up. Next one is the Business Model Canvas. It's a new tool that we just brought into our arsenal. And it's a one-sheet business plan target to essentially develop either a new or document an existing business model. And it's been very helpful for business owners to help crystallize their thoughts in terms of starting out and creating a map of which there's, trying to deliver their business. A lot of customers come in, a lot of our clients come in and say, well, I have something to sell. And we try to focus them on changing that perspective and saying, look, you have a problem to solve. And the problem you're solving is for your client. And so once you identify that problem, now let's walk down through the process of understanding who your customer segment is, what your specific unique advantage is, and how you're going to deliver that. And so this is a great map to focus both on, and then you obviously you get down into the revenue streams and the cost structure, which is ultimately important for them as well. The next tool, Reference USA. Here's within the Deltona area. These are all the auto mechanic workshops that are operating today. It kind of gives you a snapshot of their revenues, the contact information, individuals exist, and it gives you an idea of who your competition is as an auto mechanic. And so, from that perspective, we got both the kind of office expenses, accounting expenses, average computer expenses, things that are really beneficial in terms of building your pro forma plan so you understand what kind of information you have to provide and the metrics or targets that you're trying to meet. Next tool, financial planning template. We use this extensively, especially when we're going forward to secure capital or loan package. And the financial package at the top, it's your revenue streams. The expenses are laid out for the individual businesses. And then down at the bottom, it's the cash flow, the ultimate, the real key to, hey, are we going to stay in business by having sufficient working capital to start with so that you'll be able to sustain your business operation throughout the first startup months. This is called the pro forma worksheet, and we take this and use it with the business plan to deliver it to the bank for the loan package. Once a business has been in business for a while, or we could even use it as a startup business, the BizMiner tool is something that allows us to look at existing businesses. These are all the existing businesses, the auto mechanic businesses in our area that, and this happens to be Daytona Beach, and it gives you both the revenues as well as the percentages of revenue and your quick ratios, your asset, your liquidity, your balance sheet, your income statement, very detailed information. We're able to take that information and take our existing business and compare the two and analyze where they stand in terms of income and expenses and do a real in-depth analysis and comparison with their existing business to the other businesses in our area. Really very helpful in terms of that kind of analysis. Profit Mastery is a full educational course that we're able to take our clients through, walking them through how to run their business better, how to really manage their capital, how to improve their overall gross sales and manage their network. Mike just got certified in Profit Mastery, so we're sitting here ready to be able to provide that education to each and every one of our clients that requests that kind of support. Finally, the Bid Match. That's PTAC, it's actually the Procurement Technical Assistance Center. What that does is we are able to provide individual businesses who are interested in government contracts and access to all of the government contracts that are being solicited, and they get a whole list, a laundry list of all the bids out there, and are able to choose which ones they want to respond to. And so, you know, we can help them in that bid response, but, you know, it's a very, very powerful opportunity for them to secure government contracts. And a number of our clients have used this and actually won contracts as a result. And then finally, the last one is WooRank. And we ran this WooRank against the Palm Coast website. And interestingly enough, if the 82.5 is an excellent score. Typical scores, Mike can attest that typical scores are in the 30s and 40s in the kind of scoring that is provided. And they look at page content and metadata and search criteria and SEO, search engine optimization, information, and all of that is rolled into this report to give you a final score. Once we get this, we can work with our clients to improve their website so that they get more opportunity out of this out of their website. So, where were we 2016? Well, we had about 171 different clients, 71 long term. 2017, to date, we have 148 different clients, 81 long-term relationships, so our long-term relationships have increased, and we're already ahead of our core consulting hour target, doing well. 9 new businesses started with about $1.7 million worth of economic impact. Since the very beginning of 2011, you like to look back and see what we did. 2,610 individual sessions that we've run. Almost 7,000 hours of support, and we've driven nearly 6,000 miles in doing that. So, we enjoy what we're doing. The ultimate story is the success that our businesses have achieved. And looking at this, channel side, an opportunity for them to open up that event venue. Bedtops, Castle Therapy is a occupational therapist. Just the most recent CrossFit Bear Kit, able to secure $300,000 worth of loans and start building a new building. Rider Performance, the electric bike company, now they just have a new place down on Palm Coast Parkway, and they've just secured an exclusive contract with Prodeco, which is the electric bike manufacturing component. And so they're moving very quickly along the way. Painting with a Twist just got their permit, and that was one where we actually worked very closely with everyone in Mr. Landon, Bo, and we were able to get them off and running. So they're working to upfit their building, and should be open sometime in January. And then, probably one good mention, Safe Haven, Safe Haven Academy. We worked very, very hard with them. They're a home for wayward girls and assisting girls, teens that really need some assistance and direction. And Mike's client really benefited from our help, and she was very grateful for that. So basically, those are our children. We love them, and we're happy that all of them are doing well, and we enjoy what we're doing, and we just thank you very much for your support in allowing us to do that and serve the Pump Host and Flagler County community. Any questions?
I do have one. To me, this is very unique to have a city get involved and do something like this for free. Is it something that we found from another city, or is there other cities that are doing something like this?
There are 900 SBDC, Small Business Development Center, 900 locations across the entire United States and its territories. So it's not unique to just Florida or Palm Coast. And the majority of the centers are located in colleges and universities because it's educational based. But there is a unique relationship in the city of Palm Coast. There are some other areas in Florida that have a city partially funding the effort, because if Palm Coast had not funded portion of this, then our citizens would have to go to either Daytona State College, or to St. Augustine for support, whereas here, we receive tremendous technology support from the conference rooms here, and they're able to come in and utilize our services here.
Any other council questions? At this time, then, I'd like to open it up to public comment. If any member of the public would like to address this issue. Seeing no one approach the podium, I'll close public comment and bring it back to the council for further discussion or a motion.
Move approval.
Second.
Motion's been moved and seconded. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion, resolution passes unanimously. Moving on to item G4. Thank you, Mr. Peter. That was... I need to get with those people and find out a little more. like how to improve my cash flow.
Get more money.
For my private business, just for the record, nothing to do with city council. The next item on the agenda is G4. It's a resolution approving the CDBG Consolidated Annual Performance and Evaluation Report for program year October 1, 2016 through September 30, 2017, and I see our illustrious Mr. Papa in the hot seat. So, if Mr. Landon, we have
Mayor, City Council, this is a requirement of the HUD program to have this annual report in a public forum and allow the public to comment if they would like. For those of us that have seen it, it's going to look like a rerun that we've seen every year with a few different numbers. So, Jose, see if you can wow us this year.
Good morning, Mayor and members of City Council. Jose Papa for the Community Development Department Planning Division. As Mr. Landon and the Mayor, Vice Mayor, has stated, this is the annual report for the Community Development Block Grant CDBG program for the recently completed fiscal year. And again, this is a requirement of the program that we have this public forum for our program. Just going back on the background, we mainly undertake three main activities with the CDBG funds. One is an infrastructure activity, and in this case, it's the Seminole Woods neighborhood multi-use paths that have been funded with CDBG funds. A housing rehabilitation program that's for owner-occupied dwelling units and providing them with assistance for repairs. And the third activity is the public service portion of our CDBG program, where we provide summer camp stipends. And in 2016, council allocated $25,000 to the Flagler County Free Clinic. And overall, that a certain amount of funds from CDBG is used for the planning and administration of the program. Going to our infrastructure activity, as we mentioned, it really encompasses the Seminole Woods neighborhood. We've completed the portion of the path that's on Seminole Woods Boulevard. So currently, staff is designing the portion that's to be provided on Sesame Boulevard. As of now, about 1.2 miles of the design have been completed, and we are awaiting for permits from the Army Corps of Engineers. And then the remainder of that path on Sesame Boulevard, about 1.7 miles, is about 50% complete in design. And again, there's just that was placed a little bit on hold as a result of reprioritizing and putting the Lakeview Boulevard multi-use path to the top of the design list for city staff to accomplish. So at the end of fiscal year 2016, we have about $500,000 ready to be used for purchasing materials for the construction of the path. In 2016, we of course moved forward with our housing rehab program. And in 2016, 11 homes were provided assistance for rehabilitation to the tune of about $316,000. There's currently about $173,000 available at the end of fiscal year 2016. And for that portion, the applicants have been qualified, and as of now, we're going through our consultants are reviewing the documents necessary to make sure that the homes are eligible for funding. And you know, that includes things like looking at whether they're in the floodplain, any liens on the property that might be problematic, and so forth. Public service, again, as we've done for the past 3 or 4 years, we've provided summer camp stipends to eligible students. And in the past summer, we were able to assist 28 students. And also with Flagler Free Clinic, as of the end of the fiscal year, they've been able to assist 63 patients with checkups and whatever dental supplies they might need for any work that needs to be done, and there are still some available funds for them to use. And so that will be an ongoing activity that will report accomplishments at this time next year. administrative accomplishments, as you remember, it's been about a year now, but about a year ago, we completed the analysis of the impediments to fair housing, and that was in build-up to having to complete a new five-year consolidated action plan, which council adopted and approved in the summer of this past year. And that five-year consolidated action plan will now cover the years from fiscal year 2017 to fiscal year 2021. So after a public hearing with the Citizens Advisory Task Force, they did recommend approval along with staff. And so after this public hearing, when City Council approve it, we will then submit this report to HUD in a timely manner by December 29th.
Thank you, Jose. Any members of the City Council have any questions?
One question, Jose. The delay in Seminole Woods Path, that's just a reallocation of manpower, not dollars, right?
Yes, sir.
The dollars are still there. We're just waiting for the free. Okay.
That's correct, sir.
Okay. Any other?
Half of what we're sending to the rehabs on the houses, we're only doing half that amount this year?
The 300-something thousand that we were able to use included funds from previous year. There's always some carryover from previous year's work because some work for rehab takes longer, and we don't report the accomplishment until it's completely complete. So it might have started in fiscal year 2015, but then carried over to fiscal year 2016, and so we report the accomplishment in this year.
This is a resolution proposed to us, so it's open for public comment. If any member of the public would like to address this item, please come forward. Seeing none, I'll bring it back to the council for any further discussion or a motion.
Move approval.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Okay. 4-0. Next item is G5, a resolution approving an agreement between the City of Palm Coast and the Florida Division of Emergency Management for the purchase and installation of a generator at City Hall.
Yeah. Mayor, City Council, this was kind of hot off the press. This was not on your agenda at the workshop because we just got notification and wanted to move this grant forward quickly. Everybody talks a lot about FEMA's reimbursement for costs associated with a natural disaster. They also have a separate program from that, and that is one to help with emergency management, being prepared, preparedness, those type of maybe trying to prevent some flooding, etc. In this case, we were eligible as a result of Matthew to tap into that second category. In this case, we applied for a generator, large generator for this building so that we could use this during the preparation and after the storm as our headquarters, kind of our emergency operations center. Right now, we use Fire Station 25. Anybody that's been out there knows it gets very tight very quickly when you try to have all your call centers and all your people that are coordinating the response effort in a smaller building. So the grant, the project proposal is about $366,000. This is a matching grant where the local entity has to come up with 25% match. So the actual grant dollar from the federal government, which is administered through the state, is about $275,000. We actually have this in our budget for this year for the total amount. So this actually was budgeted for us to install this year, but the federal grant actually helps a great deal, obviously. So this is really a good program and something we're and our staff should be commended because you have to apply. It takes a lot of effort to do this, and it takes a lot of coordination through county, state, and the federal agencies. So this is a good thing for Palm Coast. That's all I have.
Any questions for staff?
I just hope we take George's advice, and when we build it, we put it higher than
In this case, it's enclosed.
Okay.
So it actually is a
good deal.
Yep. So you won't even be able to see it. It's where same place as our chiller is outside this building.
have any basements. We can't put it there.
No, no basements.
Actually, I did have one question, Mr. Landon. The staff summary mentioned other projects in Flagler County and possibly the city of Palm Coast that were eligible for other this resolution deals only with the generator for City Hall.
This one is just this generator. We have other applications in. It's it actually is a countywide application. Well, so we actually get together with the other cities, and there's a little ranking process. One of our priorities that we always talk about is try to make sure every community gets something, and I've been pretty successful at that. If you'd like more detail, I don't know, Denise or Brian can give you a little more detail as to what else we have that we've applied for that we might be receiving.
Well, I think it'd be something the council, whether we want to do it this morning or perhaps in a workshop, but I was interested to hear.
They can give you an over. Look at them, decide who's going to do this.
No fighting.
Morning, Council. My name is Brian Matthews. I'm the Environmental Compliance Manager at the Utility Department. And we've been involved with the LMS since it began.
LMS stands for?
Local Mitigation Strategy, which is a preliminary requirement to have an LMS prior to applying for these grants. And we created it back in 2004, and we've updated it ever since. So we've played a very, very active role in this particular grant funding application process, including the ranking. In this particular case, we have, thanks to Mr. Landon, we'll give him a little credit this time. We had applied for 10 other generators for wastewater pumping stations, which, as you know, during power outages, have some issues. And Mr. Landon prompted us to say, maybe if other applications don't make it through and there's extra funding available, maybe we should try and apply for more. So we applied for 30 generators. And while we haven't received our final approval yet, we've been told it's on the way. So that's about $1.6 million, and of which we'll pay 25%, or about $400,000. So we'll be receiving approximately $1.2 million worth of generators over the next 2 to 3 years.
And those are the ones we need to make sure are high enough that they don't get flooded.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, it's really trying to respond to one of the issues we have when we get the heavy rains, and that is when our power's down and our sewer system can't pump, it becomes a major problem. And so then what we have to do is take portable generators and drive around town and try to keep each one of them at a semi-low level. This way we have permanent generators that we can kick on at all the sites, which really will help with overflow and issues back home with flushing toilets and things. So and you gave me a little credit, but these individuals, and they have a team, and none of them, this is not a full-time job, but they all work together to turn in the applications. They're very talented in understanding what the state and federal government's looking for, and also this coordinating with, once again, other cities in the county to make sure ours is close to the top, because that's the priority.
Just to speak to that real quick, the application process, each of our applications, we had six for five generators each, with a total of 1,800 pages that we turned in. So it's not light work.
One question would be, where are we going to allocate the difference between what we had budgeted for the generator? Are we going to keep that in our capital projects fund for the additional generators that are going to be coming for the next 2-3 years?
The generators that will be for the utility will come out of the utility capital fund. But, yeah, the capital dollars will stay here, and then every year as we look at our capital program, those dollars will be spent on other capital programs.
Any other questions for staff? Commission. Yeah. Okay. If any member of the public would like to address the council on this resolution, please do so at this time. Seeing no one approach the podium, I'll take it back to the council for discussion or motion.
Move approval.
Second.
Those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. I look forward to, what's the phrase, next year Jerusalem, next hurricane, City Hall.
We never look forward to a hurricane.
Looking forward, perhaps, isn't the right term.
But you know, anyway. Maybe we can ask the federal government where the rest of our money is.
Be prepared.
I heard we were going to get another 15-year drought.
Yeah.
I just heard that. I don't, you know.
Your lips,
off, it's true enough.
Lips to God's ear. Okay. Item H on the agenda is the consent agenda. We have a number of resolutions. If any member of the council would like to discuss any of them separately, please let me know. If any member of the public has an item on the consent agenda they would like to speak to, do so at this time. H7, okay. Okay, so we have one item on the consent agenda. Are there any other items the council would like to address separately? Okay, if not, then with the exception of H7, do we have any discussion or motion on the balance of the consent agenda, which would be items 6, 8, 9, 10, and 11?
Move approval of balance of consent agenda.
Second.
Okay. Those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Those opposed? Okay. Passes. Item H7 is a resolution approving contracts with GEM Stone Contractors and SE Klein, Inc. for PEP tank installation and replacement services.
Yes, George Mayo, Palm Coast. Is this something that the city does already on its own? I believe we replace and repair our own PEP tanks. And is this something going forward that is a new operation? I'm just curious. Thank you.
If you, Mr. Landon, if you.
Yes, this is actually, we have both installing new PEP tanks for new homes that are located in a PEP area, and also replacing those that fail for different reasons. And we do have crews that perform that task, except for there are times when we have more than our crews can handle. After a major rainstorm, the wet ground, et cetera, will cause a cave-in. Or when we have a big push with new construction and the contractors can't move forward until we get out there. So we will continue that program, and we'll continue to try to have our crews do all the new and replacements. But when we need help, this is we could call on either one of these contractors. Both of them already perform this service for us. So this is actually a continuation of doing exactly what we're doing today. So these two contractors know how to do this, and it's actually a good program. It's like having your frontline crew with a backup, and these are the backups.
Any further council questions, discussion on this agenda item? If not, I'd entertain a motion.
Move approval, item 7.
Second.
Okay, moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Passes unanimously. Next agenda item is item I, the remainder of the public participation section of our meeting. If any other members of the public would like to address the council, please come forward, state your name and residence, and you'll have 3 minutes.
Lewis McCarthy, Lewis. Palm Coast. I wish everybody in Palm Coast a Merry Christmas. Happy Hanukkah, and a Happy New Year, and a healthy one for all of us. That's it.
Thank you, Mr. McCarthy. Well, Jake, please, it's public participation, Jack. any other member of the public.
Yes, good morning, George Mayo, Palm Coast. Yeah. First of all, thank you to the council for the job you've done this past year. Thank you to all our city employees who have done a great job. We live in an excellent community. Merry Christmas, Happy New Year's to you and to all our citizens. A question I've been seeing a lot in the news, reading about, been on the TV news a lot, is the issue of tiny houses. Some communities are embracing it, as we talk about workforce housing, affordable housing. Some communities have outright banned them. They don't want them. If you know what I speak of, they're 300 to 400 roughly square foot actual homes. They are put on wheels, so they're like an RV. But basically, they're permanently, most, you know, somebody will set them somewhere. Some communities have actually set aside property, land, and put up pads for these people with utilities as workforce housing. I'm not against it. I'm just curious as to whether our city has thought about that, if we have any regulations in place allowing them, any regulations in place that do not allow them. I'm just seeing where we stand on the issue. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other member of the public that would like to address the council? Seeing none, we'll close public participation. Mr. Landon, I spent a lot of time on the planning board before my election, and I don't recall this ever being an issue that was discussed
at
the staff level.
I haven't heard the discussion here locally among staff, city council, or even out in the public. HGTV, you get to see this, and I know about it, but I haven't heard about it locally. As far as our code goes, we have a minimum house size for a single family. I believe it's 1,200 square feet. Anybody that was to attempt to build something, or in this case, I mean, still have to meet our building code, et cetera, would have to be 1,200 square feet, which does not qualify for the tiny houses or whatever they're calling them. So not to say I can't have that discussion in the future, but it's not something that fits with a quarter-acre lot. If you really think about it, if you had a quarter-acre lot and you try to put this in the middle of it, that's not the concept. So
on the flip side of that, are the new what are they calling them, granny houses?
Right. So sweet,
tiny houses,
the modular
that go on an existing lot or with an with a already existing house. It's like a shed that somebody lives in.
It's a very nice shed.
If you're very others, nice sheds, yes.
Yes. Now that's the type of thing that we've had some of those where.
Okay.
But they still, it's a building that they meet the code. It's like adding on you have, someone that has their own apartment, basically, but it's really part of the house. So.
Okay. There was a tiny home expo in the area about a month and a half ago. I know some people that went. It was pretty interesting. It's closer to home than we may think at first.
Yep.
Well, there's always issues of your zoning, obviously, and your land development code, because if you create two households on a single family lot, then you have potentially a problem there. You've got issues of as Mr. Landon indicated, Florida building code with the plumbing and electricity and the wind load issues and things like that. These are all, and as the gentleman indicated, these are all concerns that would have to be addressed through looking at our code. I know that this. What I've heard also is that this is usually in some of the areas that are a little, pretty well to do, and they just don't have the type of housing that's available anywhere within their local government locations to be able to provide for the necessary workforce, like police and fire and those sorts of occupations. Whether that's necessary for the city of Palm Coast, obviously, is a future discussion.
Thank you. Okay. No other comments on the item. The next item on the agenda is discussion by City Council of matters not on the agenda. And in keeping with the season, I think today we'll start with the loudest Christmas tie on the council, which I believe would be you and Mr. Nobile.
Second best.
Second best.
I just want to wish everybody a Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, Happy Kwanzaa, and be safe. See you next year. And I just want to thank all the staff publicly for making this a very easy year for the council by your excellent work and dedication and loyalty. And if you do it again next year, I'll be very happy, and so will everyone else. So I just want to thank you publicly for that. That's all I have.
Clufus. I will make what Mr. Nobile said. Thank you to all the city staff and employees for dedication that they put forward. One issue that I would like to bring up that I have seen a little bit more discussion around is our efforts for trash pickup, but more necessarily debris and litter that people are throwing out of their cars and things like that. I know that we have a team that goes around that's responsible for this, but I think we may have to be creative in solving this through public participation, because it really comes down to we need to eliminate the problem, which are the people throwing things out of their window. A lot of it's been coming to me from the Seminole Woods area by the racetrack and 100. I don't necessarily have any ideas on how to eliminate that, but it's just something I wanted to put out on the table as something we may want to try to broach this upcoming year.
Yes, I hear put up a sign. All research would tell you put up a sign, and lots of times that's one place you'll find the most trash they throw at it. But there are educational programs. There are those. Well, you saw it with the cleanup of actually trying to do promotional efforts of almost guilting people into not throwing out the trash because you've got kids telling them this is bad news, something like that, you know, communities can do. But it really is just trying to change human behavior, and that's always a challenge. Because I equate it kind of like speeding. Everybody knows you're not supposed to do it, but there's a lot of people that do it. You know you're not supposed to throw that trash out the car window. And by the way, we have people every day on the little carts driving up and down the streets picking up trash. And they would all tell you it is a lot of it. So, yeah, if City Council, you know, we're going to start our next week our strategic action plan. So that would be a good one to put on there as a campaign program. Because that's really what he's talking about, is trying to start a campaign. And I hear the same thing, and we can do that. It would just have to be something that City Council would back, and maybe have you out there on the video doing a little
for Clufus.
I actually saw something. I saw something interesting in a community where they put a 20x20 cube of the trash that they had collected, and they solidified it, and they put it on the corner, almost as like a piece of art that says,
like the crash act, the car crash.
Exactly
car,
right. Yeah.
It's those kind of campaigns.
Yeah.
Putting up a sign saying "Do not litter," or you know, "We're going to fine you." Those do not work. You got to get more creative than that to have an impact on people.
But besides that, happy holidays and thank you.
Yep. Same for me. Thank you to everybody in the city that for everything you do. Like Mr. Nobile said, it makes our job easier. We appreciate it. Merry Christmas. Hope everyone has a great holiday. And that's it.
And again, me too for everything that everybody else just said. This is mercifully the last City Council business meeting of 2017. So I'd like to echo the thanks and the good wishes of the rest of the council, and that takes us to discussion by the city attorney of matters not on the agenda. Always a favorite Christmas topic.
First of all, I want to, I don't know where my head was this morning. I forgot that this was Christmas tie meeting, so I have Christmas tie envy.
Wasn't going to say anything.
I appreciate that, but I cannot compete. But sincerely, I think it's necessary for me to say that it is has been and continues to be a pleasure and a privilege to work with this council and with your staff, who always act in the most professional way. And I have enjoyed being your city attorney, and I want to thank you.
And item L. Discussion by city manager of items not on the agenda.
A little bit of schedule. Make sure not just city council, but the public knows that, yes, the next workshop and next business meeting have been canceled as a result of the holidays. So your next workshop will be January 9th. And most of our holiday activities are have come to a conclusion, but after Christmas, please don't throw the Christmas tree out on the curb. You can bring it down to Utility Drive on Saturday, January 6th from 8 to 1, and we recycle them. You can come get I believe they're handing out free trees. And also you can bring electronics, and they'll have a shredder a certified shredder for your personal documents that you would like to be shredded. So we have a little bit of recycling for that. Also, during the break, when people are still working but yet the kids are home from school, we have still room for some of our camp programs, whether that's tennis or Jack Frostivities. I don't make this stuff up. But check out our website or give Parks and Recreation a call and see what is available for the kids during the holiday season. And Cindy doesn't usually come up. So did I miss something, Cindy, you would like me to address?
Yes.
Okay.
Soon she's going to mention the Fantasy Lights program that continues through the month.
It's not Cindy. I was supposed to recognize Virginia. That's why she's all right. See, they reminded me yesterday, but I've slept since then. So I would like to wish everybody a Merry Christmas and Happy New Year also. But then if I could, Vice Mayor, turn it over to Virginia and Cindy, and they're going to do a little bragging about a program that city staff put together here for the holidays. Virginia, please take it away.
I'm the leader of the BAM team, and we had several competitions, as you know, this year for all of our employees to participate in. On some inspiration from Mayor Holland and direction from Mayor Holland, she was looking to do a holiday food drive as well. So staff put up a competition for each department to bring in some canned foods to give to our needy. And we're proud to say we collected a lot of food. We collected 1,426 pounds of food that we were able to donate to the Grace Community Food Bank this year. And we dropped that off last week, completely unexpected. So Pastor Solano was very grateful. His shelves were actually pretty empty, so we kind of filled them up for him, and it was a wonderful event that we did this year, so we look forward to doing it again next year.
And you go back one with the photographs that you kind of skipped over. It's, these are all city employees and all the food. It's kind of way cool this time of year.
Mm-hmm. That's very impressive. I'm glad you made her mention it.
Yes. Well, and it's Virginia, and they actually have me doing things like putting on ugly sweaters and things I would never do.
Hand foods, too.
Yeah.
We got full participation for Mr. Landon this year. It was really cool.
Well, Vice Mayor, that's all. That's
thank
all
you
we
very
have.
Much. Motion to adjourn. God bless us, everyone.